Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Oh, yes, we are. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the great, big, vast world of ours. This is Cindy Freeman. I am your host of Purpose Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the show where there is a guest, at least one every week, who is living their purpose, and that person would like to share with you how they came to know it, what they are doing that is their purpose, and what you might be able to do to live your purpose as well. Today our guest is John Morris, and I'll be bringing him on in a few moments, and he will be speaking about painting the picture of purpose. So we'll get him on in a few minutes. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about Purpose Talk Radio, you can go to our website, PURPOSETALKRADIO.com. And the other thing that you can do as we are going through all of this is that you can send me an email if you'd like. For instance, if you know someone who is living their purpose, whether that be you, a friend, or someone else you know, that you think would be good on this show, drop me an email message, and we can talk about what that all entails. If you have a product or service that you are just dying to share with our listeners to help them with their purpose, we've got the opportunity for a marketing program as well. Just get a hold of me, and that's very simple. Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, common spelling, at PurposeTalkRadio.com, Cindy at PurposeTalkRadio.com. There are a couple ways that you can participate in this show today. The first one, as I am speaking, is to join us in the chat room at the bottom of the Blog Talk Radio show page. If you're on your computer and listening via the link there, just go to scroll down to the bottom, and as we speak, the chat room will be open for you to put out any questions, comments, anything you might like about the show, about a guest, about living your purpose, whatever you might like. We also will set up a thread at the top of the Facebook page, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And on that page, that one stays there indefinitely, whereas the chat room for Blog Talk Radio closes right after the show. So if you want to say something that'll stay or that John or I will pick up later after the show, feel free to make some comments over on the Facebook Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page. Okay, my chat room just crashed. So we'll see what happens. We'll hope for the best here. I'll try and get on with that. The other two ways that you can do it is through calling us at 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. And then the final way that you can do that is if you are on Skype and you are press the Skype button next to the phone number, and what that will do is bring you up into the Skype normal connection, then press 1 so that we know you are waiting in the queue and would like to speak to us. So those are the many ways that you can get on our show. And I'm going to attempt to bring John on if my studio has not frozen up as it appears it does. So we'll see what happens here and it has frozen. Therefore, I'm going to be rebooting the computer here. Oh, I think John is on. Hello, John?
I am.
Are you there?
Hello. I'm on indeed.
Okay, hello.
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, good. Okay. I'm still going to reboot the computer and see what happens, because everything just scrambled and did some fun things. I tried it. It doesn't show me that I put you actually on the air. So, I'll wait until I have you answering a question then. How's that? So,
that sounds good.
And then I'll try and reboot that. So, you're over in Scotland, right, at this point?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're living over in Scotland. I have crossed the big ocean from me over here in the United States. So what does that mean for you as far as the seasons are concerned? Do you have fall over there yet, or is it something else?
Yeah, I mean, it's just started with the beautiful autumn colors, or the fall colors, for those of you in the United States. And it's one of my favorite times personally, just because of the beautiful colors that you get, the reds, the yellows, everything that's there. But also in Scotland, I mean, the beautiful sunsets that you get, especially coming into the winter, because the air is so cold that you end up with some of the crispest, weather conditions, and it's just fantastic for taking photos, for painting, and all sorts of different things. So, I mean, that is, it's really cool. It's one of my favorite times of the year, yeah.
Cool. Oh, great. Yeah, and I know some of your pictures, and both painted and photography, are of some wonderful sunsets, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. So it's good that you are in an area where you have something as an example for you in your work.
Absolutely.
Well, okay. Well, I'd like to officially introduce the folks to you. As I said, our guest today is John Morris. He was born and raised originally in Huddersfield, West Yorkshire, England, and began painting at the age of 17. Now, that could have been last year, or that could have been several years from now. We might find that out a little bit, maybe not. It sounds a little more than 17 these days, but, you know, not a lot. the money that he has a company right now called Art from the Heart, and a lot of the money that he raises from his artwork goes to various charities, especially working with youth. Some of the things that John does, he does sketches, he does photo paintings, pretty much of just about anything that you could think of. I know he specializes a lot in, like we mentioned, the sunsets, but also a lot with people and animals. One of the things that he does is pretty much living animal-type photos, and I'll have him explain that a little bit more when we get into the show. He has had his artwork on display a lot in the UK, Scotland, and the United States, and trying now to get into Canada as well. He's also the illustrator of several books, 10 of them, I believe, at this point. And I know there's a couple others sitting out on the market that people have mentioned on and off Facebook that you're working on. So I'm sure there's a lot more that will be coming on that. Let's see. In general here, John is the founder, as I mentioned, of Art of the Heart, and has been doing that since 2009. He's sold 610 pieces of his art in 2013 alone, and I don't know if that's the books or just artwork. Maybe that includes some of the books, and maybe it doesn't. He toured the States, and I think that was one of the first times. Was that the first time you'd been to the States, John, in 2013?
Okay. That was the first time. Yeah,
okay.
Basically from coast to coast.
Wow. And he came over here promoting books, paintings, music, guest preaching, did all that last summer of 2013, not 14 here. I did a photo tour in Ireland. He's a youth worker, public speaker, musician, preacher, business promoter, lots of other little things and not so little things. And pretty much all of it falls under, his purpose of living art and art from the heart. So, again, officially welcome, John.
That was a very nice little introduction there. Thank you very much.
No problem. So you and I originally met on Facebook through one of, you know, it sounds like what most of my groups are. It's called Marketing for Creatives. I think it's probably the first one that we did over there. But, you know, so we know about your artwork, but what really kicked off for you knowing what your purpose is, whether it's artwork or something else? You know, was there a defining moment or, you know, without getting into some of the other details, but was there a defining moment that set you off, or has it been progressive?
I think it was a combination of the two. When I was, I think, 19 years old, and I'd been painting for 2 or 3 years, but my main interest at that time was amateur bodybuilding, and did very well at it. And it was a strange thing, because at the top of my game, as it were, I ended up contracting a disease called colitis, which basically infects your stomach, and it is a stomach condition. Doctors don't know a whole lot about it. So I was left with this choice. Do I continue bodybuilding, continue being ill, or do I leave it and try and pursue something else? And, you know, I mean, my friend, you know, was just like, you know, God's going to put something in your heart that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's going to give you something that's a big kick. And I kind of chuckled, because I thought of the Leamington Spa, which is in Coventry in England, which is probably one of the biggest venues that there is. You know, I mean, I kind of chuckled at it and thought, you know, how on earth can, you know, God put something more than what's on my heart right now? But boy, did he ever, because obviously, you know, the next day after, you know, the final competition, I sat in there and I was painting away, and I'm sitting there thinking, I kind of enjoy this, you know, and I never thought, you know, it would go to be this literally worldwide phenomena that just literally has taken me by surprise, and I think taken so many others by surprise. But then, you know, like you say, it then went into a progressive journey, because then you've got to start and think about it. And Art from the Heart was, you know, like nearly 10 years in the making. It was something that didn't just happen overnight. It required a lot of time, a lot of finances. Sometimes you'd be doing between 16 and 20-hour days just to get the website set up, to get stock in, to get paintings, to actually start learning how to promote. Working with Cassie Stutz as well, who then became my business coach and one of my very dear friends. And again, you know, that was all found through the Marketing for Creatives page. And it was just incredible, because I had a background in business, but then all of a sudden when you start putting it into practice and things start happening, it's like, wow, this is actually, you know, taking off and taking place. And like I say, I mean, I'm just so astounded. It just blows my mind when I think about, you know, since this time last January, being in something like 1,500 paintings that have gone across the world to the United States, and a lot of them in the UK as well, and Ireland, and further into Europe. And it just blows my mind, because, you know, the Lord has obviously put something very much on my heart. I wasn't able to work full time, but I was able, as I said, to continue the youth work on a part-time basis. So when all this started taking off and happening, it was just like, wow. You know, and even minutes before we started this interview, it was just like, you know, you sit there and you think about it, and, you know, it's almost like, where's the last 10 years gone? You know, as you said, you know, doing the speaking, doing the tours, you know, of the United States, of Ireland, doing stuff in Scotland. And I found the United States audience particularly receptive all over. You know, it was just incredible how warm they embraced, not just me, but the whole Art from the Heart product brand, what we're all about and what we stand for, I guess. You know, and I'm not claiming to be whiter than white, but I do like that we send out a positive message these days in a world where there seems to be so much sadness.
Mm-hmm. So what were you doing at 19 at that time? I mean, you were bodybuilding, but what was, did you have another job, or was it bodybuilding and stuff your job?
Yeah, it's funny you say it because before Art from the Heart and before I really found what I would call my calling, I did a variety of jobs, beginning in promoting and telesales, which I know people just love telesales. when people are ringing up,
yeah.
Just, oh my goodness. And it's a hard job as well to do. But I would do other stuff. So, I mean, I went back to school and studied for my maths and English, and then, like I said, with business and with other things. So I was doing that. But at the time of all that going on, I was actually working in a tiny bakehouse, learning a few bits and pieces on how to bake, but mainly as a cleaner. You know, I mean, one of the highlights of the job, I guess, would be, you know, scraping the dirt out from the tiles. It was not a nice job. And just a prime example, we often used to joke in the... I suppose in the little group that I worked in, that it was the dirt that was basically holding the floor together. It was not a nice environment to work in. It was hot. It was stinky. So basically, I would wash dishes for 4 hours every day, and that would get me a little bit of money so as I could continue pursuing what I was doing. But literally, and I'm sure as we'll get to later on. I learned so much from that and from those difficult experiences, and they didn't stop, even when I became, Mr. Art from the Heart or whatever you want to call it, those experiences still continued. And I learned so much from those experiences now, which I'm able to share with others. That's pretty much what I was doing at the time. You imagine, going out on a Sunday and being this big celebrity bodybuilder that everybody knows and it's, wonderful and fun. And the next day he's in there with an apron on, with, dirt in between his nails. And yeah, it was rough. It's humbling to say something.
Yeah.
Not many people know
imagine.
That one.
Now they do. There you go. But then you've got the people that are, I knew him when. So, all right. Do you remember back to that first picture you were painting? Do you have any idea what it was at the time?
Yeah, ironically, it was something we revisited the other day in our archives, and it was basically because I was very much into more oriental kind of style of Japanese art and the whole ink on canvas and things, and I loved that. And the very first painting I remember painting on canvas was of I think it was some form of bird, and I really can't remember what it was. And basically, there's a few rocks over in the distance, and that's before I learned all the tricks of the trade, but that is basically the image that I started out with. And I remember just standing back, and it was one of the paintings I thought, wow, I can actually do something that resembles what I'm trying to paint. There was just in that time, in that area of my life, it was something I really enjoyed in terms of just the whole Japanese style of art. I always had and still do have a deep respect for that kind of style. I really do like it. I think it's just a style that stands in a class by itself.
Okay. So... can you explain a little bit about what that Japanese style means? What is that?
Yeah, I think, I wouldn't even be certain how to put it into words myself, but I think it's okay. Just a pure expression of the heart. Usually what they will have, and certainly the ones that I grew up watching and just looking at and studying, was basically they would have a small image of maybe birds or a waterfall or something relating to the town or the place where they live, and then they would have in Japanese, usually with black or red ink, again, I don't know the symbolism behind that, but they would usually have the name of the place or some sort of wording down one of the sides, and it's probably usually the right-hand side where it would be. But again, just from the style, I always found it as well very crisp, and by that I mean that there was no room for error in their paintings. It was a case of you look at it and it was as close to perfection as you're going to get. I mean, it was just incredible that you couldn't really tell where the canvas finished and where the paint began. There was no leveling of the painting, you know, so for example, you wouldn't have a background and then, you know, some images brought to the front. You would just basically have the one thing that was as smooth as silk and was just incredible. Yeah, very, very special.
Okay. So over the years, your art has changed. Are there specific influences that has had that happen, or is it just something that emerged? Is it, you know, one of the things that I asked, you know, out to the public when I posted the show, you know, what happens when your picture of life or the things around you change? So was it the audience? Was it just something that evolved, or how has your art changed over the years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as those that follow me know and read on the website as well, for me, it started out by watching Bob Ross, which is, you know, I mean, Bob Ross's work is legendary in terms of his own style of the wet-on-wet oil on canvas. And it was, I think it was really him and his wacky style that was very much like, oh, wow. And I still remember, and it's, you know, it's the true life story that when I was 17 and I'm sat there watching him on TV, flicking through the channels one day, and, you know, just being mesmerized by, number one, the colors, but also the Alaskan landscapes, because I love Alaska. It's one of the most beautiful places that I've yet to visit. And then also up into Canada as well. And he did some of the paintings to me, which really stood out. Him as a person really stood out. And I think it was that point that I started, you know, messing around with, I think it was watercolors on paper, and looking at them from a distance, and again, you know, realizing, oh, I can actually, you know, paint something that resembles what's in my head. And as years went on, obviously, it then became literally what I would call my spirit on canvas, as it were, my mind on canvas, that whatever's in my head, I can usually get it down on canvas. And one of my golden rules has always been, if I can sketch it, I can paint it. And, you know, so when I started watching Bob, I thought, right, okay, if I can sketch out what I'm seeing now, then surely I can paint it, because it's essentially the same principle. It's just with a paintbrush in your hand. And I found that to be a very, very good principle to have. I know some listeners will probably be sitting there thinking, I can't even sketch a matchstick man, but, you know, okay. But for me, that was certainly something that's where it started. And then over the span of 10 years, there were guys like Thomas Kincaid, Chuck Pinson, Eugene Lushpin, you know, and for them, I put them in a class by themselves, because they developed a style of their own, which would be using airbrush, oil, acrylic, all in the one painting. And for those that have seen any of the aforementioned names and their work, you know, I mean, it's as close to perfect, again, as you can get. And it was around maybe 2011, 2012, where I actually sat there and I said, that's, to me, where my benchmark is now. It's not with, and again, no disrespect to anyone, but it's not with some of the more local ones. It's the ones that are, you know, way above and beyond anyone else. And it's, for me, it's something that I look at and I think, wow, this is where I need to be. And that's, I think that's just something in my mind. So if you ask me, for example, you know, just to roll up some artists and then people that have really inspired me over the years, I could count them on one hand on the people that I actually think, yes, this is, you know, just phenomenal. The other one that I didn't mention was a guy called Mark Hurst. And Mark now runs his own TV show on PBS. But I started watching him recently and getting ideas and things, because I'm always looking for new ideas and new things to explore with, to have fun with. And he started coming out with things in a style that was very similar to mine, in a more traditional style as well. And I looked at it, I thought, ooh, that's something I can play around with. So I take the basis of what he's done in the painting, I think, right, how can I add maybe 10 or 11 different things in here and then really let's see it expand. So those would be the artists for me: Mark Hurst, Chuck Pinson, Eugene Lushbin, Thomas Kincaid, and Bob Ross. That really inspired my work.
Okay. Which the only one I know is Thomas Kincaid, the only one I've ever heard of. But I'm not in that part of, you know, that type of artistry either. You know, it's I'm one of those that are, wait a minute, you want me to do what with that pencil and that paintbrush? No, thanks. You know, I am instead, you know, I'm also one of those that doesn't necessarily say if I can draw it, I can paint it. I've been able to do some pencil sketching. The minute I try to put color to it, forget it. It's a whole different piece of work. So I don't typically do that either anymore. You know, my art's with the computer, it's with the words and that kind of thing. And, you know, I envy anybody that can draw, that can paint, do that kind of thing. Because mine's got to be done already for me. So I hear you on that. But you're right, I do, you know, I've looked at some of the Thomas Kincaid stuff. It's, you know, it's all over the internet, it's all over. It's, right, one of the more popular ones that probably people know. You know, so, but I'll have to check out some of the other ones just because I do, you know, enjoy looking at different types of art. Unfortunately, I've also seen art where it's, you know, a brick in the middle of a tile that they're calling and then hanging it up on the wall and calling that art. That to me is not art. You know, I mean, the things that look like an object to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing for me as well. But it's interesting to hear you say that you see more of what I do as the artwork, whereas I do the exact same, but with the likes of you and with some of the authors, because, well, I've got the words in my head, trying to get them down in something that makes any sense at all, you know, it's just completely the opposite. So to me, that is one of the greatest art forms for authors and for writers and blog hosts and everything else. My soon-to-be wife is very much on that side of things in terms of doing her own writing and her own books and things, whereas I'm more, I just like playing with colour. That's basically, I play on canvas and have tremendous fun in doing all these things.
So how much time do you spend painting or learning or in the craft at this point?
In terms of per week or per day?
Whichever.
Okay.
I suppose in a week's time.
In a week's time, I probably, again, it depends with how many commissions and things. Now, we're normally really busy with the likes of commissions and things. Sometimes you can end up maybe 15 a week. And it's a case of putting it on a list and working through them. And sometimes, like the other day, you'll start at 9 o'clock and you'll finish at midnight. Sometimes you'll start at midday and you'll finish at midnight. And it's not just necessarily the painting, it's also business, promoting, networking, interacting with customers. All I can say is I thank the good Lord that I am what's known as a quick artist. And there are some people that even will say, oh, well, you do that work that quick or so quickly that, you know, it just can't be real. It can't be real. And sometimes you've actually got to walk through with a customer and say, right, this is the canvas. This is me adding the first color. This is me doing this. Sometimes even sending them a video and they sit there and be like, no, that's got to have been sped up because there's no way that you can paint that quickly. When I think a lot of people maybe are ignorant to the style in which I paint. And again, that's to show as much respect as possible. But essentially, when I'm doing an ordinary painting, it might take maybe 2 or 3 hours to do of something that's, 16 by 20 size. And again, it depends on the subject that you're painting as well. But if it's a landscape, it is essentially the backdrop, which is usually just splattering on, you know, the color, maybe blue or black, depending if it's a nighttime or a daytime. And then if you're going to have mountains, if you're going to have snow on the mountains, as you develop more in your craft, I find that you get faster at your craft. So, for example, now you can knock out maybe 6 8x10 paintings, you know, easily in a day, and still have time to do all your promoting, your networking, and everything else. But in terms of learning as well, as I say, I mean, I'm constantly looking for different things. There might just be something that catches my eye. There might be something a customer asked me to paint. Incidentally, when I was just setting up on Skype to do the interview with you, there was a lady that got in touch with me from Mississippi that said, "Do you paint clowns?" And, you know, instantly that moment, I looked and I was like, "Oh, it's funny you say that, because I'm actually just starting to do this one." So it's very interesting how sometimes you've got to act, you know, almost spontaneously, and then, you know, God brings people in later on that says, you know, "I want to buy that painting because, you know, I love it." So, but we vary from time to time on hours, but normally in a week you would easily get maybe between 20 and 30 hours just straight painting, and then another 20 hours, say, in promoting a week or something like that.
Okay. So are you doing artwork full-time now?
No, I'm still doing youth work as well. And there's two reasons for that. One is because you never know how business is going to go. Sometimes it can be, you know, absolutely blazing fire, busy. Next time it can be, you know, really, really quiet. And we found during the summer months that sometimes it can be like that because people are away on holiday, you know, there's other things coming up. But I also, the second reason is because I like the variety. I like the energy and the explosion of youth work. But equally, I love the entertainment, the free thinking, the development, the building of a business, and actually learning to do that every single day as well. I still battle with colitis every now and then, although, you know, thanks be to God, he has healed me from the majority of it, and that was coming off from a medication, which hopefully we'll get onto later in the show. I like to keep the variety between youth work and between artwork. And it's, I personally think it's something that's just really cool, and it both interlinks with each other. Probably about 2 or 3 years ago when I was in hospital and I was in again for issues with my stomach, and it was just a wonderful week, as odd as that sounds, of being in with God, not having to worry about business or youth work or anything like that, and just being able to sit and read scripture and to hear him just say, "Look, I just want you to be focusing on your artwork and on the youth work, and I'm going to entwine the two." And at that point, I had no idea what that meant. I thought that meant teaching artwork to kids. That hasn't reached that stage yet, but it's still something where there's always the possibility. There's always the openness, I think, to be able to do that at a later time, if that was ever to come up. Certainly, I like the variety. I think I would go mad just doing one specific thing. I'm not good with sitting for too long.
I can follow you on that one, too. I agree. Like, I can sit for about an hour, even in my classes, when they're longer than that, it's like, "Oh, man, I want to get up. Please let me get up." You know, even if I go stand against a wall some days, just to move. I had a coach recently that said, you're just spread out all over the place. You need to come to one thing. I'd be bored with doing one thing.
Well, those people, they say it to me, they're like, you know, for example, I'm still doing all that list which you rattled off right at the beginning of the show in terms of promoting, networking, painting, youth work, blah, 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 schools work, on and on and on. And people, you know, honestly say to me, "Well, how then have you time for your family?" You know, and don't ask me how it works, even though maybe I still work between 60 and 80 hours a week, if I'm going full pelt. But we've still got time. I still make sure I take time for my family. That is the fundamental thing for me. But more so than that, my relationship with God, that has to be absolutely grounded in the center, because without that, nothing else works. So it's, but you know, I still find time to, you know, to still relax, to watch a film every now and then, to play the latest game or whatever that's out and about. Because I like to keep in touch with these things as well. For obviously for youth work as well, it always helps.
Yes, you want to know what they're talking about when they talk about it.
Oh yeah, because it changes so quickly.
Right. Oh, okay. Some of your stuff that you're doing now too, you know, you're doing a little more art with illustrating books as well. Correct. Mm-hmm. So how did that start? How did that start at this point?
Funny enough, it was, again, for Marketing for Creatives. Met Cindy Freeland, and she had got in touch with me. And again, it was just around the time when everything started to take off and started to be busy. And she had said to me, oh, I'm in the middle of looking for an illustrator. And, you know, I sort of rubbed my hands together and I was like, oh, okay, this could be interesting. And again, at that point, I'd never thought about illustrating books. And she said to me, well, you know, would you be interested in doing this? And it was the first book we ever did. It was Pond Life Adventures with Chippy. And she sent me through some ideas. Again, I played around with it. And I actually found that it was something initially... It was almost like a burden. And the reason behind that wasn't down to Cindy or any or authors or what was going on. It was down to the way I was doing it. I tried to hand-paint everything. And one thing I found with hand-painting everything was, number one, it was time-consuming. Number two, it was so difficult to try and get a good finish on the work, on the paintings, to the point you could photograph it and... It looked like something I wanted to put in a book. And there was probably times that Cindy said to me, you know, that looks really, really good. But me being me, I stop and I think, if I was buying this book or if I was buying this painting, would I buy it looking like this? And it just got to a stage where I was like, So then probably about a week or two later, I sat there and I started thinking, okay, I wonder if I can mess about with a background on computer using various software, and that's how that really got started. So then the main characters would be painted, and then we would just basically superimpose them onto the background, and hey presto, you've got your images. And that's how that literally happened. It was just a connection that started out of nothing. She introduced me to Anna Renault, who I've introduced to numerous people as well. But Anna and I had a special working relationship, and we still do, because she was looking also for an illustrator to illustrate our first book. You know, I think it was Why Did Cancer Turn My Life Upside Down or something like that, or Why Did My Dad Get Cancer? I can never remember the titles of the book.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. And she said the same thing. She said, right, I'm looking for this, this, and this. And I'll tell you now that the reason I love working with Anna is very, very simple, is because Anna, she's a true professional, because she will say to me, right, here's the script, read through it. And, you know, she will basically just give me a gist of what the script is about, what it's, you know. And then she'll come back at me in red writing and say, right, this is what I'm looking for. So, for example, one of the images I remember vividly was of a house with, I think, the windows boarded up, the door boarded up, the car being basically, you know, flat tires, run down, garbage bags outside the house. And, you know, it was basically showing how a life can be changed, especially in the United States. You know, that seems to be something that people are really struggling with right now. Is trying to find funding and finances when people are in that situation. And so that's basically what she was looking for, and that was literally what we created. And that whole project maybe took maybe 2 or 3 days because it was so quick and so simple just to literally rattle through all the images and, yeah, to come up with some, what I would think, some pretty cool stuff as well and stuff that I'd never done before. And that literally spread like wildfire around Maryland. There was maybe about 4 other authors, Latoya Williams, Yvette Albury, maybe 1 or 2 others whose name I forget that added to that, and then there was 1 or 2 further afield as well, and that was something for a while that I'd really looked at going into, because the sad reality with any business is that you know, especially if you're someone like me, you've got to find ways to keep it fresh. And when I was painting the same thing, when I was doing the same thing, it just became, it almost became that there was no challenge. You know, I could paint mountains, I could paint waterfalls, I could do this, I could do it. And it just, I remember just sitting there one day and just being like, I'm bored. I'm bored of the routine of, you know, packaging everything up, going to the post office, sending things off, doing this, doing that, coming back, starting again, and over and over and over. But then all of a sudden, something clicked in me. I was like, okay, I can paint these things, but what about if I now start playing with color? And start to create paintings that really have color, which makes you stand back and almost, you know, hopefully be in awe and just be like, wow. And to create colors that wouldn't normally be on a canvas. And then those obviously transposed into the book, and it all works together. It all works together.
Exactly. And we've had Anna Renault on the show before, and I think Cindy wants to come on at some point too, so we'll probably be talking to her. So let's be a little bit. I don't know. What is your future plan in all of this? And say, where do we want to take this? But yeah, I mean, are you looking to branch out more worldwide? Are you looking to change your illustrations again as you know, life comes on there? Or do you have any idea at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's always something. It's always something that you've got to be aware of in an ever-changing world that it's just a reality, but it's also a challenge and fun that you have to recreate yourself. And it's going to be very strange for some of the listeners when they hear this next statement, but it's probably one of the truest and best things that I've ever heard and been told. And it was actually from some of the wrestlers. And basically, you know, I think they were doing an interview at one point, and one of them, who was the absolute best of the best, cream of the crop, top of the top, was asked, you know, how have you managed to stay relevant for 25 years? And his response was exactly that. I continue to change my style. You know, in the 80s, I was very much, you know, I basically looked like an 80s. I wrestled like an 80s, you know, or a 1980s kind of wrestler. You know, I brought something new constantly, whether it be high flying or whatever, something that wasn't being done at that time. And then when he moved into the 90s, it was more the 90s style, which was slower, but still bringing something. And then the 2000s, and then on and on and on. And that really stuck with me because I thought, if I'm wanting to do this for the next, you know, however long before the Lord takes me home, I need to reinvent myself almost on a daily basis so that when people look at my work, it's not a case of, oh, well, we've seen that before. It's a case of, wow, you know, that's something new that we haven't seen before. And one of the nicest compliments that I get, but I don't think I deserve, honestly, is when people will say, you know, John Morris is one of the best artists of this modern era and he's on a par by himself. And you sit there and, I mean, just trying to take that statement in as itself, you then have to live up to this almost persona that, you know, you can always deliver. And that's why I was actually so nervous before coming on air Because I know there are people listening. There's people that's going to be listening after the show's done and recorded, and I know that they expect me to be this larger than life character when I go to the States, and God willing, when I go in the next couple of years. Again, it's the same thing. It's always you're on, basically. It's almost like being an actor. You have to perform at a high level, because it's what people expect. It's what creates attention as well. So that was something for me that really I took on board in terms of reinventing myself. Now, regarding where I want to be in the next 5 years, I mean, heck, it's very, very difficult to say. I would love to continue, obviously, painting and continue to develop that style, continue to have work all over the world. Certainly would love to be up in Canada, which I'm really pleased to announce that just before the show began, that we got our first order from Canada, up in Ontario, I think it is. And, I mean, that in itself is really, really cool. That you can say that, and there's potential for tours out there. There's other things as well, just from some of the contacts that we've been developing. So I would love to see Art from the Heart continue to develop. I would love to see it become more of a household name as well. I think it has all the potential to be something and continue to be something really, really special to hopefully millions of people, because we're already every single week, it's something like 200,000 people with all the connections, the Instagram, the Twitter, the LinkedIn, all the other social media that's available. They get to see the paintings, they get to see the links, the websites. And I mean, that in itself is just humongous. 5 years' time, I really don't know. I mean, I'll certainly be settled down. I'll probably have children by that point, God willing. And, my wife and I will be probably doing the same thing, in terms of painting. And hopefully, when it's all done and dusted, it'll be a case of, I hope that whatever happens, people always got a positive message out of it in a world that was ever-changing, struggling, and hopefully it was something that was, is, and will continue to be really special to people.
Okay, cool. I'm going to give you a comment here that was in the chat room. If I can scroll back to it. Came from Soul Connection. It takes us back a little bit to some of what you had said.
Okay.
Before, and it came from, it said, I think that the presence, not the one, what was that about? Sorry, it takes, well, there's something about, same year after year, and I'm not sure what that was about 63 years in lunar time, so I'm not sure what that meant. But anyway, the part that I did want to share, maybe you can clarify their soul connections to what that was about,
mm-hmm.
Is it takes, male, female, takes this person days and weeks to finish a piece of art, but it's totally valid for a person to spend just a few seconds, minutes, or hours on a piece that can be just as beautiful and inspirational. And person has also been up on your website looking at some of your art, so.
Well, thank you very much.
Process says this, it's very nice work, very artistic. It likes your artistic style, so I just wanted to share that with you as well.
Yeah, I mean, just while we're talking about that, in fact, because it was something that came up a couple of nights ago, that when I very first started in oils and I started really learning how to develop a style. I remember I did a painting of a tiger, and it was brutal. I mean, looking by today's standard and looking back back then, it was something that I would now look at and laugh. But I mean, for that, that was 2 weeks between coats, just because either I'd applied the paint too thick or I wasn't learning the style properly or whatever. So I can totally understand in terms of you know, paint taking a long time to dry. Oil paint in particular does, but what I found, I used to work with Winsor & Newton oil paints, and again, that's not to give them a plug or anything like that, it's just who I used to work with, but it was something that I found would dry fairly quickly, and whether or not that was being mixed to the heat, maybe that was because it was in Scotland and just absolutely freezing. I have no idea, but I would find I could put a coat on and maybe two or three days later go back and it'd be, you know, dry enough to paint over. Nowadays, I've switched to work with acrylics for a couple of reasons. One, because when I'm on the road, I can still paint and it dries really quickly. Two, it's not too messy, very easy to clean up. And three, it doesn't stink. You don't need to use turpentine. And it creates, I personally, yeah, I mean, turpentine's a nightmare. Just because, you know, you, especially if you're doing what's called beating the brush, where basically, for those of you that have used oil paints before and turpentine, I hope you'll know what I mean, where it's a case of you basically slam the brush against the side of an old box to beat the turpentine out of it. But my, oh my, it's it just leaves the place stinking. It's as rank as it can be.
Well, when I was a kid, I did do, you know, oil painting stuff, oil by number, you know, paint by number things, just because, like I said, that's what I could handle. And you're right. My dad pulled out the turpentine for me to clean the brushes, and it was just like, oh, Lord. I'm like, do I really need to do this? I'm like, I need to do something creative, but, man, I don't need to do the cleanup.
No, I mean, the thing about it is, again, I mean, it just stains everything. But the other thing is... And again, this has been a real in-depth interview so far tonight, but I used to have a pair of jogging bottoms that I would use for painting. And I think because it'd already been splashed with a bit of paint before, I thought, okay, I'll just use these, it's fine. And by the end of them, they were ripped to shreds just from either getting caught or, you know, this, that, and the other. But the thing about them was, They didn't fold because the paint was so thick on them. The turpentine was so thick on it. I mean, heck, had there been someone that had lit a match, I would have gone up in flames. It was just brutal. Oh. And they weighed about an extra 10 pounds because of the paint that was on them. And oil just does not come out when you stick it in the wash. So trying to get them in the washing machine, it was like trying to fold something that was as solid as steel. It was brutal, yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go again, just changing with the times and, you know, where it gets you.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's, you know, one important thing that I would say for any artist, any business, even in your own line of work, in your day-to-day stuff, is that, you know, you really do need to change with the times. It's one of the things that have, I would say, grounded the church a lot, is that they haven't changed with the times. A lot of them have either wanted to stay where they were 50 years ago. You hear that phrase a lot in Sunday school where they'll turn around and say, oh, well, we're doing it this way because we did it that way 50 years ago and it works. And it's one of the saddest things. And now with our youth group, because I had the same issue, I learned that I couldn't preach as I would have done maybe 5 or 6 years ago when I started with a church youth group. So it became a case of more directional relationship building with them, with no ulterior motives except to see them develop and build and hopefully have a relationship with God at the end of it. Because at the end of the day, all we can do as pastors and teachers is basically teach and share with people. You know, at the end of the day, you don't ever want to be ramming it down people's throat. And I don't admire Christians that do that, that will come and say, oh, but the word of the Lord says this and the word of the Lord says that. Or even if someone's ill and you get someone that says, oh, my brother, pray for you, heal your brother, you know, kind of thing. Because you just sit there thinking, okay, when Jesus died on the cross, he gave me direct relationship with God. I don't need someone then to come and, you know, start preaching at me, speaking at me. You know, cause to me, it just turns me off. And I think that was the big thing with a lot of people in the church. And that's why I deliberately And again, you know, for you know, a lot of people don't like it, but it's a fact. It works. And I think it was the right thing to do. I deliberately didn't preach, and I deliberately don't preach when I'm at the youth group. We do discussions, we do talks, but we don't stand there and basically be like, right, okay, this is what it says. When we get into that a little bit more with the kids, and when they're in that position to be able to you know, understand it a little bit more, develop their own thinking a little bit more, you know, all of a sudden you find that they're wanting to know more. Things that go on, things that have been taught in the schools, all of a sudden it's like, oh, John, our RE teachers taught us about this, you know, and all of a sudden then you've got a discussion where they want to know what's going on. And some of those can last 45 minutes to an hour. But it's, I think it's really important to reinvent yourselves, whether you're in the church, whether you're an artist, whether you're business, whatever, because it's the only way it's going to survive. God is the only one that doesn't change. He doesn't cast a shadow. He's literally the only one. But I mean, you look from the time of Genesis right through to Revelation, how much has changed just in that one, you know, book made up of, or one set of books made up of 66 books and, you know, 40 plus authors, how much change went on. But, yeah.
Well, like you said, you know, you look at the different areas. Yeah, you look at different areas of your life and you see how they fit in. And, you know, and one of the things we do very often talk about purpose being from a higher being, a source, or some, you know, whatever you might be able to resonate with you. And I do suggest to people, you know, if whatever term is used at the moment, please do choose whatever it is. You know, advocating or condoning one particular religion or spiritual belief or anything else. It is all spiritual, and whatever you can connect to for yourself, please do. You know, so I, just before anybody might want to go that direction, I just want to let you know that. But each of our guests and I and each of our listeners has their own belief system. And I gladly like discussing that a lot of times too. So you're right, you know, but, you know, that's where you work with your youth, is in the church for the most part at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, that's to be expected. Now, one of the things you said is that some of your paintings are going to be working, or some of your sales are going toward charity. Is there a particular charity you're working with, or what do you have? I mean, is it the youth in the church in general, or is there a particular charity you work with?
In probably the last 10 years, we've worked for about 25 different charities. When I was in the United States, we, Anna Renault and Cindy Carter and myself, we got together and was looking at, again, the American Cancer Foundation, I think it is, and again, mm-hmm. looking at the whole issue of, you know, in terms of people just having no money when they've been diagnosed with cancer, they've been laid off of the job, this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden, you know, they're left with literally nothing. And what we could do about that, because obviously, I mean, that's a humongous issue, and that was something that we really encountered when we're out in the States. So that was one of the charities that we worked with. There was a number of others. There was Cammie's Jammies, again, based in Maryland. A lot of the stuff is closer to home with our own youth group, because officially I'm employed part-time by the church that I work with. And, you know, I mean, Art from the Heart certainly helps to subsidize and help me continue the work that I do with the youth, and helps me be able to go into the schools to hopefully give them a better quality of life as well. And, you know, I mean, 30-plus kids come every single, you know, Wednesday and Sunday. It was a little bit quieter last night. We only had 17, but that's still more than enough for us to handle. But it was, you know, hopefully it's going to be one of those things that they don't, you know, they don't stop maybe, you know, 10 or 15 years and think, oh, I wish I'd had this, I wish they'd had that, that they'll be able to say, oh, I really had this. And to maybe to their kids to be able to say, oh, you know, you really should go along to this because, you know, it's something that's really, really special. Heck, who knows, in 10 years I could still be doing the same thing. And, you know, be getting some of our current youth that will be saying, oh, you know, you really need to go along to this youth group because he was my youth pastor when I was a child. And, you know, Of course, by that point, if it goes on much longer, I'll be more directional within the games and things. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, there's numerous charities that we work with. We've worked with the RSPCA. We've worked in Scotland with the SPCA, I think it is. And it's basically the Scottish Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. They don't receive government funding, so we like to help out a lot in that as and where we can. And the normal practice that we do is we work with maybe one or two charities a year, and you know, at the end of the year, we write out a check and basically send it off to the charity and say, look, this is what we've been doing over the year. You know, we'd just like to present you with this check. If there's anything we can do in the future, please get in touch. You know, and it's not always huge amounts, don't get me wrong, but it's always something. And something often works better than, you know, a kick in the teeth or nothing, as they would say. So I do find it very rewarding, very positive as well. And I think that's been one of the good basis for our fan base, as they can see, oh, he's not just out to get what he can get, like so many in this day and age, but he's actually interested in helping and giving back as well.
Right, exactly. And that is a lot of what you know, people like to see in the world too. It's like, okay,
absolutely.
So How do we share what we have learned? And again, the premise of the show, how do you share what you've learned over the years and help somebody else? And that's where I started this at the very beginning. I ended up being, you know, in the production with Jan Revelle, who also was in marketing for creatives at the time, I think, you know, and doing that. I think you guys connected there, too, for something else. And it was like, okay, yeah, how you – it's all networking. It's all – who you know, why you know them. We may not know in the instant, you know, but it'll take us somewhere. It'll connect us to somebody else, do something else, who will help us into something else, you know. And it's just
absolutely.
It's a really cool connection, like you said, and what we do and how we share with the world what we know.
Yeah. So, and I think as well, it comes down to what you're prepared to share, because you know there are sometimes people will say to me, you know, how do you paint in that way? And it's very difficult to describe to someone without physically showing them, either through a video or being on site or things, how you actually do that. And one of the biggest roadblocks, I think, for artists in particular, is the fear of not actually, the fear of trying something. And you find it with artists, you find it with musicians, authors, business people. Oh, I really want to try in that business, but I really want to try and play the piano, but. And all I can say is don't be afraid of making a mess. You know, hey, it's a canvas. Wipe it off. Start again. Canvas is very forgiving. You can do that with it. Some paintings that I've done, you know, you end up sometimes painting over them, you know, five or six times. And before you finally get something that you think, oh, I kind of like that. I think I'm going to leave that as the finished piece. I think that's what, now that I'm in that position, I think I'm trying to convey that to some of the younger artists now that really have so much potential. There's so many that's coming up now. There's one in Germany that I'm thinking of in particular. And they have such potential because their paintings, again, very much like Bob Ross, but they are so crisp, and the ideas behind them are absolutely phenomenal. And like I said, there's so much potential there, but it's the fear of not wanting to make a mistake, not wanting people to turn around and say your work's absolutely terrible. Hey, unfortunately in business, you're going to have that. And you've got to be willing to take the rough with the smooth. I still get that now. Sometimes you get people that will turn around and say, oh, your work's absolute ... Obviously, it's a live radio show. I'm not going to swear online. But your work's absolute ... you know, basically go and drop dead, which is a direct quote from one that I had maybe a year or so ago. You know, and I just learn not to take things that personally anymore. Like I said, my fiance is very, very good at keeping me balanced. There are times when I'll have my 10-minute rant and, you know, get it out of my system, and then she'll be very much like, right, okay, don't take it personally. We don't know what's happening in the situation. You know, let's basically just move on from it. She's very good at offering a different perspective, which again, I think in business is something, or just in life, you need that from hopefully good counsel.
Right. Cool. Well, I'm going to invite anybody who wants to call in to do so. Again, 347-205-9074. 347-205-9074. Actually, I was hoping the person at Soul Connections would have done that. Because there's comments all over this chat room, but if work allows and freedom to unfold in the next hour, they'll be back. So there's some artwork that was shared over there too that I'm gonna. If you don't see the link, I'd like you to jump on and see what you think of it too. And then of course there's the art of being an urban organic vegetable gardener. So you know, there's all art. There's all kinds of art. So same person in the chat room. And otherwise, if you're listening on Skype, please do hit the number 1 if you want to talk. Come over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. Put your comments there if you'd like. Or if you're listening on the archives later, feel free to comment over there as well. I put a few things in on the pinned post at the top of the page. It'll stay pinned until I put the next show up for next week. But for now, I put a couple things in there. Yeah, you can ask John questions there too if you if you come in later on the archives. I've added him to the group. If you're not a member of the group, just come on over and ask to join, and we'll put you in there. Let's see, what other stuff do I want to tell you? I think that's probably the main part of the questions that I've had for you. You know, is there anything that you wanted to share that we didn't touch on?
I think the only things that, again, it's one of the things that I always share. I was just seeing myself if there was any questions that had come through on our pages. But the only thing that I really wanted to share would be, you know, don't be afraid if something, you know, for example, if what you might term as catastrophe has happened in your life. In the last, you know, since Art from the Heart began, just to run off a little list of some of the things we've gone through, yes, we've had the United States tour, but when I was on tour, I also got a message from my then best friend and landlord basically saying that I was evicted. Bye-bye, off you go. And, you know, you come back then from the United States, you're still battling colitis, and you're in a bedsit. And for those in the States, I don't know, do you guys have bedsits? Are you familiar with that term?
No. What is that?
But basically, it's almost like shared accommodation. So basically, you have a room, and you have a shared living room, you have a shared bathroom, you have a shared kitchen. And it's usually with people, maybe students, people that you don't know, and they're coming in and out all the time. And I got back from the United States and, you know, went up to the house where I previously resided, and, you know, literally there was nothing of mine in there. All my personal artifacts had gone, paintings had gone. They were all in this, you know, like I said, this bedroom that was, it was a dump, basically, that there's no other way to put it. And I remember sitting there that night and, you know, being absolutely scared, witless, just because I just had no idea of how I was going to survive this, how I was going to go through this. And then it maybe took me about 3 or 4 days later. And, you know, you're somewhat saying to yourself, it's like, okay, Lord, I know I've got to pull myself up by my bootstraps. You know, I've got to work. I've got a youth group to work with. You know, my fiance and I hadn't met at that point. You know, and that was probably one of the roughest experiences that I've ever had. To go through. And again, you know, it would have been so easy to give up. It would have been so easy just to walk away and say, you know, I'm off, I'm done. You know, but I think there's a maturity and a a substance about a person when they can actually stand there and say, okay, I'm in this situation, it's bad, it's difficult, but I'm not prepared to give up, and, you know, something special can still go on. And likewise, when you're diagnosed with a terminal, well, you know, whether it be a terminal disease, whether it be a disease like colitis, that, you know, essentially you have a doctor sit there and tell you, you know, you either have an operation to have part of your stomach removed, or it's going to eat away at you. It could become cancerous. It could, you know, essentially explode your bowel. And then they always end the sentence by, but try not to worry, Mr. Morris. And you sit there and you think, yeah, I'm going to really put that to the back of my mind. You know, it just, you know, it's one of those things. It's very easy there to sit there and think, oh, you know, this is almost like a death sentence. But at the same point, you know, I just don't bother with it. You know, I feel better now for being off the medication than probably I have done the last 10 years. And I'm not advocating that. You know, that there are times when you need to be on your medication, you need to do what the doctors tell you. But for me, when it was making me more ill taking the medication than it was actually not taking the medication, you know, that worked for me personally.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, that there's going to be times, there's going to be experiences that you go through, that they will strengthen you as a person. But the real message behind all of that is, you know, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, there's always something you can either start or you can begin. You know, if you feel you're at rock bottom, well, hey, you've nothing else to lose. You know, you can start working back upwards and see, you know, really what you can create. Because I'm sure you'll agree, Cindy, human beings are, you know, that the mind is one of the most powerful things that a human being has, and that all that limits us is literally our fear to actually go in and do something.
Right. Well, I like what you just said, and I want to repeat it a little bit. You know, basically, when you're at rock bottom, you can always go up. Basically, it's the only way you can go.
Yeah.
If you're at rock bottom,
absolutely.
It's rock bottom. So, yeah, you know, and I hope some of what you said has been able to give some people some hope if they need it, or give some ideas of how they can live in their purpose, whether it be painting, whether it be something totally different. You know, again,
absolutely.
All of what we have, you know, this is just one skill that John has. This is just, you know, one thing that he's sharing with listeners. You can change the words to anything you want. You can change it to writing. You can change it to gardening. You can change it to prayer, meditation, walking, flipping burgers. I don't care. You know, you can change it to what is meant for you. Because like you said, you know, there was a time where you were scrubbing tiles, trying to be a baker,
yeah.
Whatever. All those things in the moment are what you're meant to do. And I guess I keep kind of coming back to that almost every show. Whatever you're doing in the moment, that's what you're meant to do. And, you know, if you dream and set some goals for something different, like you said, keep that positive picture out there. Don't think, oh, man, boy, I'd really like to do that, but.
Yeah.
It's going to stop you. That butt's like kicking yourself in the butt the wrong direction, you know, and out of the
Absolutely.
Way of what you could have. That's kind of
when
I start looking at that. So
yeah, I mean, we've just had one message through from a lady that basically said, you know, she's now working her way back up, and she now volunteers at a drop-in center 3 days a week, and she's getting back on her feet. It's, you know, it's a good position to be in. It's a good starting point, you know, to actually have. And I think the hardest part is taking that first step. But yeah, we wish her all the best.
Right. So I do not see any callers in here, so thank you for that comment. Wherever, I don't know where she put it at the moment, and that's cool. That's fine. Go ahead and share it over on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook, too. That would be great. If you want to pass that off to her, I appreciate it, because I just haven't seen it yet. I'd like to give you a moment to there's two pieces. As my computer is acting up again a little bit. One is, I always like to leave people with an affirmation. I don't know if there's one that you would like to share with us, or if you want me to create one from some of what you said. It's up to you.
Trying to think of something offhand. I guess it would be the higher the mountain, the steeper the obstacle, the greater the victory. Would probably be the best thing that I could affirm offhand. Within the space of talking time, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to, okay, with that then, the higher the, oops, there it is. I'm like, I missed something. Okay, the higher the mountain, the steeper the obstacle, the greater the victory.
Yeah.
So I guess with that then, we turn that into I am climbing all my mountains, you know? Make that as simple as it is.
Yeah. I think sometimes we've just got to face our fears, and sometimes if that mountain is your fear, then, yeah, I'm facing my fear of mountains or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Spirit just, like, totally revamped this. It adds what you just said, what I just said. Okay, I just typed. Well, Spirit just typed. I'm climbing all my mountains, facing all my fears to achieve all my victories.
There you go.
All the victories that are mine. All the victories that are mine. There you go.
As simple as that. Hey, it's live, and whatever happens, you know it's all good.
Exactly. So, okay, how can people contact you?
Well, there's numerous ways. I mean, usually if you type in John Morris, Art from the Heart, you can find me all over the internet. It's one of the wonderful privileges now of being more established, as it's fairly easy to get in touch. Watch out for my work all over Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. You can get in touch with me directly on Facebook at John Morris, and you can get in touch on our Facebook page at John Morris Art from the Heart. And yeah, you guessed it. We've got a website, johnmorrisartfromtheheart.com. So there's numerous ways to get in touch. And, hey, even if you're not thinking of buying paintings, just, you know, come along for the ride. You never know what the future will bring.
That Facebook page. And great. I think I'm pretty much.
I think I lost you there slightly.
Yep, except right at the beginning there.
Well, I'm not certain if she's still on or if she just left me here by myself. She did say this potentially would happen, so I could just be here by myself. Any comments or anything people want to fire in, you can ask questions and get in touch until either Cindy comes back or we run out of time, one or the other. So if you've got any questions, feel free to fire them in. Oh, I think that might be Cindy back.
Yep.
I just continued talking away because I thought we lost you.
Yep, just as I was saying, and it was all working well, I think my cheek hit the hang up and I disconnected my whole self. You know, you just never know. I got a little up ahead of myself there. So anyway, thank you there for jumping on. I'm glad we discussed that before, that just in case it goes away. So. Anyway, all right. Well, again, thank you very much for your time, and we'll look for your information. And I will put you back on hold. If you'd like to listen to the end of the show, please come over to Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. I know you've already been over there. If I missed something that you really want to say, please feel free to share it or check it out during the week and see if we got anybody from the archives posting some questions for you.
Sounds fantastic.
Great. Have a great day, a great evening. Actually, it's evening over by you now, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. It's late evening.
Okay. Great, thanks. Take care now.
You too, Cindy. Bye-bye.
Okay, that was John Morris, and talking about his painting, his artwork, photography, illustrating books, all that fun stuff that I have no interest in. So I love other people that can do that and are willing and wanting to do that with their life. This is Purpose Talk Radio. We air every Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the U.K. I know coming up in November, those time slots are going to be really messed up. But for the time being, they are correct, as we are still on daylight savings time. In the United States, November 1st, that changes. And so, let's see, as I had mentioned, if you wish to get a hold of me, please do so with getting a hold of Cindy at PurposeTalkRadio.com. You can come over to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page and put some conversation in there from listening to this show. You can be a part of sharing your products or services if you'd like by going to the website PurposeTalkRadio.com and or sending me an email. Next week, who do we have coming up? Next week we have Yamina coming on. I was just going to give Yamina a different last name. Yamina McIntosh is coming up. She has been diagnosed with some illness. I'll let her talk to you about that. That basically takes away all her energy, and yet she is training to complete an Ironman. So that is her purpose, her goal, her dream, and she is well on her way to it. I've been pretty impressed talking to her over the last year or so as to what she's able to accomplish in spite of someone else saying, you can't do that. You shouldn't be doing that. You know, we can't let other people control what we do. We can't listen to what other people have to say. We need to determine for ourselves what we have to say. The others next after that, there'll be a couple of ladies who have written a book on how they've been able to succeed through social media. You know, John had mentioned that he himself has used social media a lot in his creation of his business. So I am figuring he might want to listen. He might listen to that too, and maybe chime in too with the ladies on their book. And after that, things are open a little bit again. You know, I haven't been scheduling things too far out, just because we might change format, and we might not. I'm leaving things open to spirit as time goes on. What I'd like to do is, especially if anybody's got anything on domestic violence, breast cancer awareness, those are two things that we are looking at in the month of October for folks. This week actually is Fire Safety Week also. And we honor all those folks that have battled fires for our safety. I think about a year ago, too, you folks heard me talking about a friend of mine. Actually, it's been 2 years, so I don't know if I spoke about it on the show. A firefighter who retired after many years on the department and a month later was diagnosed with glioblastoma, which is a terminal brain cancer, and didn't make it through the year. And I honor him with all of those recognitions. With the fire safety and those people who protect us and go in and battle those things that, could be life-threatening to us if they weren't around. I get a little emotional on that because I know I've known him for years and knew what he went through and know what his wife now is going through as they were together 10 years, less than 10 years. And, now she is, the prime of her life, planning what they were planning to do with their life and retirement and all that, and now it changes. Again, we don't know. Life is so precious that we don't know one day to the next what's going to happen. So we have to seize the moment. Go out there and take advantage of every opportunity that's given you. If you think you're supposed to do something, by all means, please, 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 go out and do it. Don't wait for someday. Don't wait for when the moment's right. Because you may not get that moment. And then on the other side, if you believe you get there, and your spirit's still around, and you're going, boy, I didn't do that. So I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to know that. You know, like I said, take advantage of all that there is for you to do right in the moment. And if you need suggestions, if you need help of people, you know, send us a message. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what you want to talk about on this show as well. I'm open to that. This is your show as well as mine. So I think pretty much I am wrapping this little baby up for the day, for the week. And if I can find on my switchboard where these new things are, I will be able to close our show. The song that you heard to open and to close is called I Am Who I Am. It's by the group True Trinity. That would be Jillian Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself, who make up the group True Trinity. The website is TRUETRINITY.com. A couple other songs that are up there. And in the meantime, I wish you all soul blessings. Thanks for listening.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.